Everyone, the children, you could see teachers for the children classes. This morning we have back with us someone we know so well to preach the word of God, Pastor Albert Lee and his wife, Catherine, who is here with us. They worship at Emmaus Evangelical Free Church. In the past, he was involved with our Daily Bread Ministry. And although he has retired as a pastor, right now he is involved in business as missions entity. Right? Today, the topic that he'll be sharing with us is called A Levite, Body Parts, and a Civil War from Judges chapter 19 to 21.
The men see some old faces and some new. It's difficult to introduce me because I worked through many things in my lifetime. I know John when we were together in Bartley Christian Church. That was long, long ago. And I served for 28 years with Singapore Youth for Christ. And some of you may know me, Bantam would know me in those days. And then I went on to serve with our deliberate ministry for 20 years. Youth for Christ was 28 years. Then our deliberate was 20 years. And during that time when I was doing our deliberate ministry for 10 years, I was serving as a pastor for Emmaus EFC Church. Then now, past my 70 years old, retired, redeployed, I now have to handle business as mission entity that has a business in China, and the purpose is to be in restricted access country to have a platform there for the good news. And so that's what I'm doing now. And in Singapore, I sell solar lights to support the mission. But in itself, the solar light allows us to enter into high-risk remote locations globally, so that through that means we can also present the good news. So that's a whole lifetime of serving, and thankful that I could come here to teach the word of God. I think I have been studying the book of Judges with you for nearly 4 years, huh? And hooray, today the last three chapters. If you have read it, you can follow. If you cannot, then I do my best. But go home and read it again, okay? So today we are going to look at Judges 19, 20, and 21, the last three chapters. Father, we ask you to help us as we look at your book, written in the days of the judges, that we may learn the lessons that we can and imbibe into our lives. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word through the Holy Spirit will touch and impact our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. The book of Judges have many stories about judges, right? That's quite obvious. One was the best, and I think she was the best. It's the Lady Deborah. Some were good, like Othniel, you know. Some were not known at all. Their name only appeared once, and that Shamgar. And then one handicapped Ehud, you know, and then some very colorful character like Gideon, and then Samson, and then there's some minor one like Tola, Epson, and Jae, and so forth. Many of them are flawed people, yet used by God. This should give us an encouragement. We are flawed people, yet if we are willing, God can use us. Now, the last five chapters, we had two stories about Levites. One was about a mother, a son, and a Levite. Remember, last year I was here to look at it. Today, we are looking at the last story, the second story of a Levite, and we will look at the Levite body parts and a civil war. the key verse in these five chapters is, in those days, there was no king in Israel, no authority, no leadership. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. And I think we can see it happening in countries where there's no leadership, no proper authority. People will do whatever they want. Now, what's the role of a Levite? Well, there are basically two orders of priests. Aaron and his son, they belong to one category. And the Levites who serve them and handle the management of the temple and even looks after the refuge cities. Basically, the Levite's role and the priest's role is to be intermediary between man and God. In the first Levite story in chapter 17 to 18, we saw nothing but idolatry, the creation of idolatry, and the annihilation of quiet and trusting people in Lachish. Today, the second story, we see nothing but gang rape and a civil war. If you think the first Levite was bad, the second was worse. So let's start by reading chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. In those days when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, who took to himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. And his concubine was unfaithful to him, and she went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there some 4 months. Then her husband arose, went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. He had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the girl's father saw him, he came with joy to meet him. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, made him stay, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate, drank, and spent the night there. This concubine has no name, no voice. Yet she was very instrumental in the story. Verse 1 and 2 tells us that she was a concubine. Yet, when we look at verses 3 and 4, it tells us that the man was her husband and her father was the Levite's father-in-law. So we ask the question, was she a concubine or a wife? Could it be that she married the Levite, but he did not gave her the status of a wife? Verse 2 tells us that she was unfaithful. But was it sexual unfaithfulness? We assume it is, right? If so, she should have been stoned, isn't it? So according to the Old Testament law. Or was she just unfaithful because she ran back to her father's house for 4 months? You got it? A young girl was married, was mistreated, and unloved. What would you do? She ran back to her father's house. In verse 3, we read that her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. Later, we will know whether he did this because he truly loved her. Okay? The father-in-law provided fantastic hospitality. Was he doing it because of tradition? Or was he doing it because he was trying to protect his daughter? His effort to delay his son's departure for as long as possible ended up with his leaving on the evening of the fifth day. Traveling in such a late hour was very dangerous. something that we Singaporeans cannot fully understand because we live in a safe country. But in those days, to live at that hour is extremely dangerous. So we pick up the story in verses 15 to 21. We read, they turned aside there to go in and spend the night at Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. And behold, an old man was coming from his work in the field at evening. The man was from the hill country of Ephraim, and he was sojourning in Gibeah. The man of the place was Benjamites, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going? And where do you come from? And he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem into Judah to the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, from which I come. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm going to the house of the Lord. But no one has taken me into his house. We have straw and feed for our donkeys, with bread and wine for me and your female servant, and the young man with your servants. There is no lacking of anything. Then the old man said, peace be to you. I will care for all your wants. Only do not spend the night in the square. So he brought him into his house and gave the donkeys feed, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. While hosting the Levite in his house, the scoundrels, the ruffians of the city came knocking. They wanted to know the Levite, which means they wanted to sexually abuse him. Homosexual acts are described as abomination in Levites 18. The old man addresses the mob as brothers, failing to get them to act like brothers. He rebuked them. Then he tried to appease them by offering his own virgin daughter and the concubine. You know, it's very hard for us to comprehend how this old man could see his daughter less important than his male guest. You cannot fathom it, can you? The mob rejected his offer. So what did the Levite do? He pushed his concubine out to them. Earlier, we saw how the Levite spoke kindly to his concubine, right? Was it because he loves her or because he loves himself and wanted her? To save himself and have a good night's sleep, he gladly sacrificed his concubine. We read about this in verses 25 to 26. But the man could not listen to him, so the man, the Levite, seized his concubine and make her go out to them. And they knew her, abused her all night until the morning. And as the dawn began to break, they let her go. And as the mornings appeared, the woman came, fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was light. Basically, it was gang rape. Barely alive in the morning, she crawled back to the house. And in verse 27, we read, and her master, the Levite, rose up in the morning. And when he opens the door of the house and went out to go on his way, behold, there was his concubine lying at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. This word, behold, communicates surprise. He was surprised. He thought he got rid of her. He was going to leave home without her. Shows you how much he loved her. In verse 28 to 29, we read, he said to her, "Get up, let us be going." But there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey, and the man arose and went away on his home. And when he entered his house, he took a knife, taking hold of his concubine, he divided her limb by limb into 12 pieces and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. Question: was the concubine still alive when he saw her in the morning? And with immediate help, she could have survived. But no, he didn't care. He didn't check her pulse. He just loaded her up, threw her on the donkey, and journeyed home. Well, when he got home, she was dead. So he cut her body up, distributed all 12 parts across Israel. I don't know whether anybody have taught these three chapters in Judges to you or not. I think a few people may have, but many will avoid these three chapters of Judges. It is sickening, isn't it? To study it. And that's why I'm teaching these three chapters in one go. I don't want to prolong the sickness with you. I can do it in three chapters because there's a lot. But one enough, huh? We don't want to spoil our lunch afterward, right? Humans' depravity is very real. And it is happening today. If you know anything about Myanmar, you will know what is the human's depravity. They will conscript young people, whether they want to serve the army or not. They will arrest them. That's what they say, arrest for conscription. Take them in, make their parents pay for their training, send them out to fight. And if they don't fight, their parents will get into trouble. And if they refuse still to fight, they will give them drugs so that they will get crazy and fight. If nothing else, they will send them in front so that they will be shot first. Humans' depravity is very real. And it's happening even among those who profess to be religious. The action of the Levite was depraved, isn't it? But he was religious. The whole of Israel, when they received the 12 body parts, that includes the Benjamin, was infuriated. They were energized for justice. Similarly, in some church fight, some leaders are also energized for justice. Now, listen to the explanation of the Levite in Judges 20, verse 4 to 7. And the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came to Gibeah that belongs to Benjamin. I and my concubine to spend the night. And the leaders of Gibeah rose against me." The leaders of Gibeah, not the scoundrels, rose against me and surrounded the house against me by night. They meant to kill me, and they violated my concubine, and she is dead. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the countries of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed abomination and outrage in Israel. Behold, you, people of Israel, all of you give your advice and counsel here. Notice that in telling the story, if you read it again, it's all about me. Huh? They rose against me. They surround the house against me. The men to kill me. The me, me, me. Nothing about him pushing the concubine out to them. You see how we tell story. You know, when somebody offends us, we tell the story to our friends. And the way we tell it, we conveniently leave some part out so that we could accomplish our objective, which is to get your friends angry with the people who have offended you. Well, the whole of Israel vowed justice. At least to their credit, they did ask for those scoundrels. But the highly skilled warriors of Benjamin refused. You go and read for yourself why they are highly skilled. Huh? I'm not going to elaborate. Therefore, they could and they would protect their own rather than do what is right. Same situation. Many will just protect their own but not do what is right. Therefore, a civil war in Israel was started, and one tribe was almost wiped. There is an ongoing war, civil war in Myanmar. 3 years already, huh? No one knows how many lives are lost. We are doing our best to distribute solar lights to 2.4 million people who are displaced from their homes. I say this to thank some of you last year for your help. Israel seek God's support for what they already decided to do. Sounds like us. We will ask God for blessing, not for permission. Huh? Is that so? We will ask God for blessing, but not for permission. We decide what we're going to do. God, please bless us. They did not ask God for permission to go to war. They only wanted to know who is going to go first. And they lost twice. Only in defeat, they finally asked God whether they should be at war. They were told that the Benjamins will be delivered into their hands. For one concubine girl, they killed almost all the inhabitants of Benjamin. They denied the surviving Benjaminites to marry any of their daughters, dooming the existence of this one tribe. Only in hindsight, they suddenly realized, Alamak, what did we do? We are going to wipe out one tribe. They cried to God, why has this happened? Instead of a meeting, we were wrong. So in Judges 20, verse 3, we see them offering offerings, not repentance. God was silent. And so they came up with a game plan. Unhappy with the city of Jabesh Gilead, who did not join them to fight, they adopted all the city's virgins and killed all its inhabitants. Read about this for yourself in Judges 21, verse 8. And so they were able to deliver 400 girls to be wives to the Benjamites. Still needing more, they gave permission to the surviving Benjamites to abduct young girls at their annual festival in Shiloh while they are celebrating before God. You see how depraved they are? Satisfied that they had solved the problem, you know it? They created the problem, they solved the problem, they went home. Judges ends with this verse. In those days, There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Enough of the story? We ask ourselves a question. What can we learn from this story? Well, I think we can learn many lessons, but let me just give you two lessons. Firstly, when leaders are self-interested, people will be abused. Thankfully, we stay in Singapore, where generally speaking, I cannot say entirely so, but generally speaking, our leaders are not self-interested. There will be an element of self-interest. And maybe that's why we got the black and white issue. But generally speaking, in the whole, our leaders are not self-interested. But when leaders are self-interested, people will be abused. And it's not talking about just government leaders. We're talking about church leaders. We talk about leaders in organization. We're talking about leaders in business company. When they are self-interested, they will abuse people. And those who are vulnerable will be used for people's pleasure, people's financial gain, and become political pawns. Well, during the days of Judges, women were the property of the father. Later, he will hand her over to her husband like goods transferred with a dowry. However, Jesus and we who are God's people, who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, places a high value on women. Jesus' disciples were astonished at what Jesus did in John chapter 4, verse 27a. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Marveled! Surprised! You know why? Because the rabbis in those days will never talk to a woman in public. It will be to lower themselves. But Jesus broke the rabbinic dictum and engaged in public conversation with a woman. And not only did he talk to women, he ministered to them. He did not ignore them. And he knows that they can be women of faith, greatly used by God. Not only in her family, but also in the community. There is a Chinese proverb that says, I don't know Chinese, so I just give you the English version, okay? Woman holds up half the sky. Any of you know this proverb in Chinese? Okay. Woman holds up half the sky. In the mission world, woman holds up more than half the sky. Since 1990, women had outnumbered men in mission field, sometimes by 2-to-1 ratio. So women holds up 70% or 66% of the sky of mission work. Sadly, self-interested leaders abuses people, and women for a long time had suffered abuses. But godly leaders, those who are Christ's disciples, will help not only women but all people be useful and fruitful. So the first lesson we learn, you get a self-interested leader, people will be abused. Now the second, when solving problems, God's name must still be glorified. Okay? When solving problems, God's name must still be glorified. See the deeply entrenched value of hospitality. Hospitality is a good thing, right? But this deeply entrenched value of hospitality has gone to the extreme to eclipse the condoning of wickedness. That's what had happened. America champions democracy, right? Singapore champions meritocracy, right? But such values in extreme can make many people vulnerable and be abused. Two lessons. In summary, Judges 19 to 21 shows us the depravity of God's people in Israel. Losing sight of who God is and doing good in their own eyes. Today, do we not see the depravity of mankind and they are only doing what is good in their own sight? Once you shift God out of sight, you will do what is good in your own sight. We have studied the book of Judges over a period of 4 years, altogether 13 lessons, 13 sermons. I'm sure you have forgotten most of it. We don't have very good memory. But don't forget this one lesson. When God's people drift from God, they will start to adopt the values of their culture. What is the culture today that is pushing strongly against our Christian value? Do you know? Today, the woke culture will make many Christian compromise their biblical values. That's happening. If you are not aware of the woke culture, time to ask your pastor or your leaders about it. The woke culture has seductively, quietly come into the church and shift us away from biblical values. And so what will happen is this, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, in the church, many will have a form of godliness, but denying its power. That's why Christians, churches, organizations may have a form of godliness, but there's no power. Is this so also in your life? The culture of our world have shifted us away from looking at God. And so we begin to start to do what we think is good for God. You see here? To do what God says is good, to do what we think is good for God. That is the danger you and I face. Thank you for allowing me to track you through the book of Judges, especially these last 5 chapters. And I really want to do it as quick as possible and do not prolong the music. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word. And in your word, you are not afraid to tell us what is real, what is ugly, what is something that we Christians say, we don't want to talk about it. Because it's real, dear Father. Without you in our lives, what we read about people doing, it will be true also of ourselves. Without you, dear Father, redeeming our heart and changing our lives, we will also be as depraved as others. Dear Father, now that we have come to know you, please, dear Father, don't allow us to lose sight of you. Don't let us begin to think that we can do whatever we want because we have lost sight of you. So I pray, dear Father, that we will continue to stand firm in spite of a world that is becoming totally godless, that we will still fear you, love you, and do what is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.